that God is in control. Is there anybody here today that has not experienced how lonely and how frightening nighttime can be? I know that everybody likes daylight, but even sometimes in the daylight, in the crowded daylight, we can still feel alone and even scared. But all of our fears, and most of our fears, I should say, and anxiety, somehow seem to happen worse at night. So who hasn't had that night where you've been waking up a few times and you look around and you feel like you're all alone? All of these anxieties are bothering you and you're not unable to fall back to sleep. Maybe that's why the psalmist in Psalm 91 and 5 spoke of the terror of the night. The terror of the night is a phrase that even Shakespeare would use and borrow to use in his great play, Macbeth. Actually, the Bible contains 83 verses or stories that are set in or make mention of the night. So any life is essential to dealing openly and creatively and properly with the terror of the night. Amen? In Genesis 32, Jacob wrestles with a stranger in the night as he goes to bed, knowing that he has to get up in the morning and face his brother who he has wronged. It was in the night that the old man Eli heard the Lord calling Samuel, the boy, by his name. Paul had a vision one night in which a stranger told him to go to Macedonia where the gospel would first be heard on the European soil. It was also late one night in prison where Paul and Silas, when an earthquake shook, and the foundations of the prisons opened them up, freeing them in that moment. Daniel had two visions at night. And of course, we all know the scripture, there were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night when an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were so afraid. It was at night that Jesus came walking across the Sea of Galilee to those in the boat that were so scared because of the storm. We must be contented and understand that we must confront the terror of the night. But the fact is that we're never alone at night. Jesus was no stranger to the terror of the night. It was at nighttime when he took the 11 of the 12 with him to the garden and prayed to his Father to take this cup from me. Jesus' soul was troubled and sorrowful, and he asked his friends to keep watch over him. Amen? That phrase, keep watch, that's a lovely phrase because we all want to know what's happening. And every time we want to know what's happening, we want to watch, see what's going on. Amen? We want to know that when something is happening, that somebody is watching over us, keeping watch over us, and keeping us. Jesus fell on his face and told his friends, could you watch and pray? Jesus fell on his face and told his Father, if possible, take this cup from me. Jesus cried in agony. But even as he cried in agony, his most trusted friends kept falling asleep. Amen? As he was going through the terror of that night, he had to drink the cup of suffering, but he couldn't do it until he accepted God's will. I listened to Brother Andre's testimony, and in his testimony, he talked about God's will. There's always peace in God's will. Amen? I spoke about him, and I said, you know, he never truly let me on to understand just how dangerous his condition was. He says, I'm funny. I wouldn't have been funny if I knew how serious his condition was. But he wanted to ease the burden off of me and keep it all to himself. How did he find the strength and the grace to go through that? How did Jesus find the grace and the strength to go through the garden? No doubt he found it in the faith that was expressed in today's psalm that says, he will keep you and not slumber. Behold, he who keep Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. In a word, Jesus knew that he believed that even when he felt that he was all alone, that he was not alone at all. The word keep appears 6 times in Psalms 121. The real verb in Greek is called shamar, which means keep or keeper. It is also translated to means watch over or guards. So what the scripture is saying, he who guards or watches over us will never slumber nor sleep. So it reminds us in this word that we are not alone. And do you ever really feel alone in your life, like he's not there for you? We look at others and we say God is doing leaps and bounds in this person's life. And where's God in my life? I feel like I'm all alone. You hear people talking and giving testimonies, and you're saying God is giving them a word, speaking wisdom through them, teaching them. I need to know something. God is telling me nothing. Where is God when I need him? I want you to know today that God is still working in your life. The way sometimes things might appear, God is continually working in your life. But I want you to know something this morning. God does his best work in darkness. You watching to see God work, but he does his best work in darkness. You want to understand what's going on. You want to know why nothing is happening. You want to understand why your father sometimes reaches over you and cuts the lights off. Just because the light is off, God is still working. I want you to understand this morning and take a good look at God, because he works the night shift. He is performing acts of love even as you sleep. God works the night shift. You see, many of us don't think about those people that work at night. We don't think about those police officers that's out there. We don't think about them firemen, them EMS people, those EMT people. We don't think about the nurses. We don't think about people that are working at night. Because when they're checking in, we're checking out. When they're putting their uniform off, we're putting our pajamas on. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God works at night. When you fall asleep and put your covers over you, put your comforter on, God is working in the midst. God is busy. He's fully engaged. While he's doing his job, you're having your dreams. He's fully engaged. The scripture says, he who keeps you will not slumber. This is the God that's outside of our vision. He's outside of our vision. We can't see him. But just because you can't see him, it doesn't mean that he's not working. It doesn't mean that he's not watching. This is the God that occupies himself with tasks beyond our comprehension. He was working on Brother Andre, and the doctors didn't know, but it was beyond their comprehension. Brother Irvin, he worked on your son, and it was beyond their comprehension. His eyes see what we can't see, and his hands, oh, they're in the mix, skillfully working and putting things together. He's got his hands in it. We can't even feel it. But his hands are skillfully putting things back together. He's at work in our lives. He's doing things. This is the God who reaches. This is the God who thinks. This is the God who plans. This is the God that shapes. This is the God that watches. This is the one that controls. This is the God that feels and acts. While we're unconscious, God is working. God is working the night shift for you. He is occupied all night thinking about you. His interest in you never wanes, never diminishes, not even for a heartbeat. He's busy on your behalf, even though you're not aware of it. Even when you're doing absolutely nothing, and there's a lot of nothing going on, he's still busy working. He never stops looking over your life. He never stops observing your life. He never stops giving your life, directing your life, guarding and planning for your life. That's why in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know that I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And plans to give you hope and a future." When you wake up in the morning, the first thing that should be on your mind is God was working overnight for me. Not what I'm going to eat. God was working overnight for me. Oh, hallelujah. God was putting in a long night. He was on the night shift on my behalf. David, in his turbulent and fugitively years, trying to escape from his own son, Absalom, said, "I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I fear not, though tens of thousands assail me on every side." Don't you know the devil comes at you on every side? But when you know what you know, you can go to sleep, because your God is not slumbering and he's not sleeping. I know that he is working. I know that he is on the job. And most of the time, even though I know that he's working, I don't know what he's doing. There's seasons in your life when it's going to look like it doesn't seem like he's doing much or nothing for you. You'll stare in the darkness of frustration. You'll stare in grief. You'll stare in confusion. But I want to tell you today that God didn't give you night vision. He didn't give you night vision. But he has that kind of vision. When he wants you to see, he puts a little light on so you can see. Because maybe you can handle it then. But there's things that God is doing, that he's working on, that he doesn't want us to get in the midst of it, because we're just going to mess it up. Understand that God has sovereign control as both the creator and the sustainer. He created you and he sustains you. He does it in the physical realm and he does it in the spiritual realm. In the physical realm, you got a job. You got money, you got food, you got a roof over your head. But in the spiritual realm, when the devil and his minions come after you, God sends his angels around you to cover you. And when you call his name, you can say, "Devil, get behind me." And all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. If we really understand this, it should govern our reactions to situations and circumstances of life. And not only of life, but in our lives. And I say of life because you look at other people and you just don't understand. But if you know that God's in control, you will understand. When you look in your life and all the things that God had brought you through, realize that God is in control of your own personal situation. And let me tell you, he don't love me no more than he loves you. What he does for me is for me, and what he does for you is for you. There are times that you're going to feel yourselves tested in ways that you don't understand. And you're going to say, "You know what? God is working in pastor's life on weekends and holidays. He's working overtime, and he ain't doing nothing in my life." But God works overtime for you. He works weekends for you. He works long nights for you. Others speak of God doing this and doing that. People tell all of these things that God is doing. But when you understand that he's working in your life, maybe you can't see it. Sometimes God works in your life and it's going so slow. It's like looking at a brick building, watching the ivy grow over it. You don't see it, but sooner or later, you start to notice that it's happening. And things are going on. But that's God's timetable and not ours. Just because in your life, people don't see an under construction sign over you. Nobody sees an under construction sign. You got to know that the master builder, the architect, is at hand and at work for you. He's been doing it for centuries. His timeline might be at a snail's pace, but he is like an artist. He's got that black veil over you, and he's not going to show you to everybody until he finishes that portrait called you. You got to pray and let God worry. But God don't worry. But you got to pray and let God worry. But God don't worry. But you got to pray and let God worry. But he don't worry. He's not worried. He says, I am that I am. But in our own mind, we got to pray and let God handle it because we don't know how it's going to get done. But let God do it. So we got to pray and let go and let God. We got to pray and let God do it for us. Jesus realized in the garden of his agony and his soul. But he calmed down when he said, not my will, but thy will be done. It was somewhere in the midst of that, of all of that crying, that he must have came to the fact that it says, he who keepeth me does not slumber or does not sleep. He had to know that God has everything in control. He had to know that God architected, he built this, he made this whole scenario for Jesus Christ to die on the cross. God is with you all the time. Even when you don't feel his presence. God is faithful, and his promise is ever to always keep you, to guard your life, to watch over you. Sometimes we want to go forward, but God is making you go backwards. He's making you go backwards because maybe you need to start all over again. Have you ever done something and you try to shortcut, and you had to break it all down and start all over again? Sometimes he makes you go backwards because what you tried to build was not of him. And we look at these instructions that people are giving us today. It's just like the instructions in these boxes. Have you built anything lately? They don't tell you anything. They show you pictures. The communication is very incomplete. Oh, hallelujah. By the time you finished and you got all of these things hanging out, you got to break it down and start all over again. Some of us don't even try. We get on YouTube and watch somebody take us through the steps. And we get tired because they say, this is a hammer. But they're giving you what you need. They're giving you what you need to know. The communication is clear cut. That's just like God. The communication is clear cut. You got to pray. You got to ask. You got to find out from him before you step, before you start knocking in nails, before you start breaking things up. I hate building things these days. There are three words to describe God that can kind of describe God. I have to change that. but kind of describe God with you and with you and with me. Three words. With. Not a very big word. For. F-O-R. Not for, but for. And ahead. With. God is always with us. In his dream one night, Joseph was given the name Emmanuel, that God never ever chooses to be apart from us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And even though we don't feel it, God is with us even though we don't know it. And now there's the word for, because God is for us. And if God, Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? And ahead. And God is ahead of us. There is no tomorrow that we face that Jesus hasn't already been there to forge the way, to blaze the trail, and to prepare the road we will walk. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is with us, he is for us, and he is ahead of us. He is the one that keeps watching over us. You see, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Can you say that with me? That he, oh, come on, church. I said he that is with us, that keepeth us. Come on now. You don't know it? He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Have you ever had somebody when you needed them in a moment and you tried to call them up and they're asleep? Not only you can't find them, but they're asleep. They're right there where you know they should be, but they're asleep. Maybe they're just too tired to answer the phone. I checked them out. One of the worst things that ever happened to us, call my ID. But you know what? God's got caller ID, had it all the time, and he knows when you're calling him, he never gets tired. He always is.
Hallelujah.
Might not be when you want it, but it's right on time. God is aware of your circumstances, and he moves them right along. Our circumstances keep us stuck where we can't move, but God moves them right along. The shepherd says, come on, move, move. He kicks us, he moves us, he motivates us. We want to just sit and sit. Just do. How many have ever done that? I'm going to turn around so I can get another reaction. How many have ever done that? You sit and you stew. It feels so good. There's somebody to walk up to you. I'm mad. You can't do nothing about it. I ain't got no money, and I'm mad. I'm miserable, and I'm going to make you miserable. And you, and you, and you. And all you got to do is talk to your Heavenly Father, and he'll make a way for you. You don't have to be like that. Oh, hallelujah. God is aware of your pain. You know, like they had the monitor on Brother Andre. God's got a monitor on you. He knows the pains that you're going through. He knows everything that you're going through. He's watching the situation. And he knows how much you could take. And if you couldn't take it, he wouldn't give it to you. But there's a purpose in your pain. But you know what? You can't see it, but God knows. We want to know. But God is working. He's got a reason. Even while you're here today, there's a reason for it. Who knows what you would have been doing? Who knows where you could have been? Who knows if you were even still would be alive? God is aware of your emptiness. We got a lot of empty people. And we be trying to fill it up with all kind of stuff. People so empty, they go and they gamble. Come on, seven. People drink because they're empty. They do drugs because they're empty. They run around, can't have a meaningful relationship because they're empty. But see, my God knows your emptiness, and he want to fill it with something beyond your dreams. But you're impatient. You can't see it. But the master architect of your life, he's already been making the drawing, making the plans, putting the lines together, sketching it all out for you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise his name. God is aware of all the wounds and the scars that you have. We all been wounded. We all been scarred. We all got these things that make us the person that we say that we are. And then we justify it and say, don't be mad at me because you know what happened. You know what happened. You were there. You know what happened when we were growing up. You know. So I carry that battle scar with me and I use it as an excuse. That even when God is trying to work in your life, you're still holding up the battle scar. Like it's a award. Like it's a badge of courage. It's not. It's some crutch that you hold on to. It's a crutch. You hear me? It's a crutch that you hold on to. Because Paul wanted to get rid of that limp. And he was told, my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you're going through, God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. It's sufficient enough that the enemy won't let you use those things that you've been using. His grace is sufficient for you. He knows how to go into those wounds and those scars and heal. Have you ever had a cramp or something and you go get this rub and you put it on you? I hear some people know what I'm talking about. You get this rub, this deep heat rub, and you put it on you and you could just feel it going through your skin. It's warm and you feel all right. God is better than that. He can heal those deep wounds, those deep scars, better than any doctor. Because you know what? God ain't got to cut you to do it. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. She just had to touch. Just the touch. She didn't even touch him. Just the touch. Just the touch of the hem of his garment. He turned around and said, who touched me? Because the power went out of him. There's power in the name of Jesus. Just to touch, just call the name Jesus. There's power. Everybody looking for power. They want to run for president so they can have power. Run for Congress so they can have power. Go up the corporate scale so they can have power. But ain't no power like the power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power that's free. Power that can deliver us from anything. Power to overcome anything in the world. He says, I have overcome and so can you. Sometimes we don't want to praise God. We don't want to thank him for the things that he's done. But let me tell you something. Did God ever tell you he's too busy for you? We too busy to serve God. We too busy living this thing called life. Not knowing that this gift of life, we got it from somebody called God. And every time we turn around, no matter what it is that we're going through, we call his name in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he's not too busy. He's not too busy to hear our cry. Not too busy to take care of things that are important to me. And you know what? My level of importance is different than yours. Hallelujah. What's important to me might not be as important to you. But everything that God knows everything that's important to each and every one of us. And if we say, God, this is important to me, he'll listen. You say to your friend, this is important to me, they'll laugh. No matter how busy he is. Do you know how busy God is? Can you ever think of how busy he is? How many people are sick and he's healing sickness? How many people want to be saved and he's sending salvation their way? How many people are calling on the Lord to get them out of a financial situation and he's doing that? How many people just keep calling and calling and calling? Not just here in New Haven, not just here in Connecticut, not just here in the United, all over the world. But when you call, you want his 100% attention to your position, to your circumstance, to your situation. And he ain't busy, too busy to hear you. What if God treated you like you treat him? God is busier in your life than you even know. Brother Andre, each and every heartbeat is a precious thing. And I know nobody knows that today in this room more than you. But how many of us take for granted every time our heartbeat flawlessly? How many times a minute does it beat? How many times an hour does it beat? How many times every day does it beat? Even at night, in your slumber and your sleep, it's beating. Because in your sleep, he's still working on you. He's still making sure that everything is okay. Oh, hallelujah. God is working the night shift. When nothing seems to be moving in your darkness, God is still working. Even when your situations seem out of control, God is working. Don't you know that sometimes God got to show you things through after you go through darkness? Because if he showed it to you in the middle of the day, you ain't going to pay no attention. Because we're like cats. You ever see a cat? You shake it over here, they're over here. You shake it, they just... And that's what the enemy does. He's the author of confusion. And he shakes a little something over there, and you start going that way. And then he shake it over there, and you start going this way. And then he shake it down at that door, you run to the door. Didn't I tell you that we have to learn to stand fast? That's part of standing fast, understanding that no matter what it is that you're going through, that God is working on your behalf. Even when you feel alone and afraid, God is still working. Know that he's working. When things seem unstable and not even trustworthy, because we don't trust everybody. Don't get quiet on me. You know you don't, I don't trust everybody. Okay? We don't trust everybody. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to use wisdom in everything that you do. Amen? So even when things seem unstable, but when you really go through some darkness, you really stop trusting people. But never, ever stop trusting God. When people are grabbing at everything, the next fad, trying to surface out of chaos, remember, you've got to hold on to God's unchanging hands. Trust him in our moments of darkness, because God is working the night shift. He's not always working where you can see him, but he's working the night shift. When your kids are hanging out at night and you don't know where they're at, he's out there working a night shift on your behalf. Now, kids get in accidents at night, and we don't know what's going on. He's working the night shift in our behalf. When you get that call in the middle of the night and you don't know what it is, you better start praying, because God is working the night shift on your behalf. And it's not just you, but everybody around you. The Bible tells us we are not our own. Not because we're not just our own to him, but to everybody around us. Because they got a piece of our lives. They got a piece that must be accounted for. They got a piece that we're supposed to pray for. They got a piece that we're supposed to fast for. They got a piece that we're supposed to give them the word. They got a piece that we're supposed to tell them the truth. Nobody likes the truth. The truth hurts. It hurts. But the truth shall set you free. It shall set you free. Oh, hallelujah. Don't worry about the darkness. Good things happen in the darkness. When it's dark, God is working for me. In the darkness, you let the enemy know that God's got me. He's working for me. Don't doubt him. Let him do his work, because he pulls off that veil. They see you. They're going to want to know what happened to you. How'd you get well, Brother Andre? You wasn't doing too good. They said 10%, but it's excellent. His work is excellent. Oh, hallelujah. Excellent. God pulled that veil off for you, brother. Pulled that veil off for you. They look at you now, they're not going to understand. They're not going to understand. Whatever situation you're going through right now, God's going to pull that veil off for you after you come out of that darkness. Let him do that work. Let him paint that perfect picture that's called you. You're his child. He's going to dress you up in the best. He's going to give you the best. Don't run to the next fad. Don't run to the next person that you hear preaching something that's not of the gospel. Don't run because people are running up and down shouting and all of that. Or they're preaching the word. Or you're getting something to take with you when you leave the church. Or you're going to leave and say, well, I don't even know what was preached. I don't know what was said. That's what's happening. I met with a bunch of pastors yesterday. And what's happened here has happened there. Everybody want to run to the next fad. But you got people out there ain't got no business standing up in a pulpit. You got people who don't even know the word preaching. You got people with all kind of titles. Titles. One bishop told me, he said, you know what? He said, a young man used to be in my church. He left because he wanted some, he wanted to be something. He said, I ordained him as a deacon. And he came walking in my office talking about he's the apostle, bishop, prelate. He said, well, how did that happen? And I didn't know if you came up under me. He said, I didn't ordain you for that. God didn't. If God said that was you, but you don't even have no training. He said when he was getting ready to leave, the boy gave him his card. He said, you better take that card out of here because it's going right in the garbage. And it's not really for me to, I'm telling you this because you know what? Our children that are not here, come on somebody. Our children that are not here or listening to something that sounds similar, might be a little more livelier, might appear to be cuter, but it ain't the word. So I'm telling you, so when they start talking about things, press them on to see if they understand exactly what they're talking about or what they're being taught. And don't lose hope because God is still working the night shift. And if they're listening to that, that means they got an ear to hear. They haven't shut God off. See, there's hope, there's faith there. They haven't shut them off. They're just listening to the wrong thing. And you know what? My children, they don't have to be here, but they better be hearing the word in the right frame. Okay? Yeah, I'm happy you're going to go to church, but make sure you're hearing the right thing. If you don't understand and I tell you something different and I prove it to you in the word, you better check where you at. And if you keep hearing it, you better walk out of there. Oh, my God. I don't know why I went there. Let us stand this morning.